Love Line, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist.
And this is Adam, where's my goddamn coffee, Carolla?
Oh, yeah. For Texaco. Well, I had a harrowing experience on the freeway on the
tonight?
Way here.
Was that the most insane electrical storm you've ever seen?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's stuff touching down, like, all around.
Yeah, and, you know, in California, I mean, especially L.A., we don't get much weather, and we certainly don't get any good weather. We get smog and oppressive heat, and then we get a little rain. But we don't get anything good.
Nothing exciting.
Nothing that would make the cover of a phone book.
No.
you know what I'm saying?
Right, that's right.
You see all those great pictures in the Midwest of those electrical storms. And to me, it's just, you know, maybe it's because it's a novelty, but it's just one of the most dramatic, spectacular things there is to see.
Yeah.
And we had a little bit of that tonight. So that was, it's very exciting.
It was strangely directly over the main freeway right through the middle of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That's what was weird about it.
But, you know, it strikes me we are so starved for weather in this part of the country that once, I'd say about once every 12 years, a little snow falls somewhere in the valley. Not real snow, just technical snow.
Right. Something cold and frozen fell out of the sky. Doesn't stick.
Yeah. No, you're not going to build a snowman or go sledding or anything, but somewhere in Van Nuys, there's a 16th of an inch of something on the ground, and everyone goes insane.
Right.
Now, it immediately turns into black paste on the ground, and, you know, people are injured trying to play in it, and cars are getting in accidents, but it's so compelling, it's so exciting. Or once in a while, a little water spout will pop up.
Right.
You know, a little mini twister thing that couldn't knock over a trash can.
Right.
Still big excitement for us. Jesus Christ. All you folks around the country who are complaining about your weather, I was in the LA Unified School District for, 12 years? Never miss one day because of anything.
No earthquake days?
No, yeah. never missed an earthquake. Never, you know, the best we could do was stay in because it was smoggy.
Right.
Yeah, all right, don't go out. No Socko or Smear the Queer today. It's stage 3 alert. I remember talking to a guy when I was a kid who lived in Utah, and he was like, "We get 2 weeks off for the opening of deer hunting season."
Oh.
And I was like, "Holy ass." He's like, "Sure, you guys don't get deer hunting?" I'm like, "No, we don't get deer hunting." Oh, yeah. And then there's snow days. And then, you know, we have to elect the snow queen and the ice princess. We take a few weeks off for that. It's like, oh, my God. You lucky sons of bitches. 2 weeks off for deer hunting season. All right. You ready to go to the phones here, Drew?
I am, yes.
Let's speak to Nicole.
Let's save the babies!
Nicole is 17. What's up?
Oh.
Don't listen to your radio. Turn that off.
Okay, turn it off.
Thank you.
You guys, sorry. I'm sorry.
All right, go.
Okay, I was just, my question is about orgasms. I can't have one with my boyfriend, but I can have one by myself.
All right, so you're actually... You're actually ahead of the curve. Yeah, that herky-jerky stuff doesn't go very far.
Is it her radio or is it her phone line?
I think there's a little feedback on the phone. And it's the radio. But, no, Nicole, you're 17, right?
Yeah.
You're able to masturbate to orgasm?
Yeah.
And you just were concerned because you don't have orgasm during intercourse?
I can have one with guys. The only way I have one is if they touch my clitoris.
During intercourse or just...
During intercourse. If they don't, then I cannot have one.
Right. Wait a minute. No. I think she may be confused.
I'm not confused, I swear.
You mean while the guy is inside of you...
Yes.
And he rubs your clitoris, you have an orgasm?
I can have one.
All right. Well, you stop complaining.
That's way ahead of average.
Way.
That's good.
That's way up. That's just... That's the most you could hope for.
At 17.
No. At 117. That is the most you could hope for
as
a woman.
Some women actually do, believe it or not, Adam, I know you've never experienced this, do have orgasm during intercourse without direct.
Never heard of
it. I know.
It
exists.
Some women
some, Adam,
do.
Hold your breath now. Some have multiple orgasms during
intercourse. What was that first word?
Multiple. Many.
And that means half?
Many.
Oh! What percentage, Drew, what percentage of women can have an orgasm through just penetration without any stimulation to the clitoris? I mean, what I'm saying here is not even them getting on top and sort of rubbing.
Right, a guy just
pure penetration.
It's got to be like 1% under 28 or so, and maybe 5% overall.
So if you just added women who were of age, let's just say women over 17.
Okay.
Under 10%, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're okay?
Goddamn right there. It is. Patrick?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was diagnosed with polycystic kidney disease about a year and a half ago and was put on an ACE inhibitor. And I'm not sure that this has anything to do with my problem, but it might, so I figured I'd tell you first. I've been experiencing for a while erectile dysfunction, and not just when I'm with my girlfriend, but also when I try to masturbate.
Huh. How about when you get up in the morning? Do you have erections then?
No, I don't.
Ooh. Are you diabetic?
No, I'm not.
How do you know you're alive if you wake up without an erection?
That's a good question. And, like, I've seen my family doctor about it, and he kind of wasn't too concerned. He gave me some Viagra, which didn't work.
Wow.
Yeah. And I talked to my nephrologist about it, and he said that as far as he knows, the ACE inhibitor that I'm on has no side effects.
Cough. That's all the ACE inhibitors can cause a little cough. There's a strange sort of tickling in the back of the throat they get. It can cause worsening, change in your renal function, low white count sometimes. But I've never heard of it causing erectile dysfunction. Are you in renal failure?
No, not at all.
You're not on dialysis or anything? This is just you have a family history of it, and they're watching you.
It's weird. My grandfather had it. My dad's asymptomatic.
Right. Polycystic kidney disease is it's called an autosomal dominant. It's a bad disease.
Well, no ass.
And the nephrologist is trying to improve the blood supply, blood flow through the kidney with this medication.
What nephrologist?
Nephrologist, kidney doctor. And no, it shouldn't be causing the erectile dysfunction, but boy, I think you deserve a real thorough looking into it. This is not right. It's a shame. I mean, there could be other, sometimes, if I remember right, polycystic kidney disease can be associated with cysts elsewhere, like in the brain and whatnot. I mean, you want to get this checked out.
The kidney doctor could not put the word kidney anywhere in that title.
Neph.
Does neph mean kidney?
Yeah.
Put it in a sentence.
Nephron. Nephron are the units of the kidney.
All right. But isn't there a nephron something for like cold medicine or something? Nephrodephrin or something?
Neonephronephrine.
Yeah. Aaron? Eric?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah. Okay, here's my problem. Me and my girlfriend have been going out about 6 months now, and the only way that she can have an orgasm is through oral sex.
Right, that would be normal.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I like giving oral sex to her, but it's just that she has a pretty strong odor. Yeah. And I was wondering if there's any other way I could go about it. Because I love her a lot, and I just
I don't believe
Nero has got the thumbs down on this.
Yeah,
one.
Why don't I believe it?
Because when we trumped with with the question, he went to the next one, and then he had to sprinkle in "I love her a lot" and all this nonsense.
Hey, I love her a lot. Screw. Yeah. I over the last 2 days, I have sat in a studio in Nevada and done 20 hours worth of prank calling.
Well, let me explain what you mean.
Not all myself, but just goofed on people, making prank. What I have to explain? Prank calls.
Why you did that?
We're doing a new TV show that involves this. But here's the point: I have such a keen ear now. I just sit. I sit next to a guy and scribble down jokes on a dry erase board for him to say while he's talking to these idiots. And I just didn't buy an ounce of Eric's.
Right.
And I don't even know why. I didn't buy it at the very beginning. I didn't buy it when he cleared his throat.
No, me too. Same thing.
All right, listen, Drew, don't do that. I'll do it.
Well, you don't need it.
Jackass.
Put it right here.
Okay.
See?
All right.
Why is it over there? It's ridiculous. This is the issue. Right. Let's deal with it.
All right. Drew moved my carpet remnant.
But why is it under this thing?
No, I don't know. Drew, you know why? Because it was.
Yeah, right.
That's
it's been
why.
There for 3 years. You've been yelling about this. I just finally made the
whatever.
Change.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, your girlfriend's got a smell down there?
Yeah, I mean, it's not strong, but it's, I mean...
Right. What's it smell like?
Where, I mean, huh?
Yeah, what's it smell like?
It's just like it's like rotten tuna fish. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I can handle it, but I just, you know, I was wondering if there's anything else I could do.
Yes, you know, you can go see a doctor and get an antibiotic cream, and that will take care of it.
I mean, I was, you know, I was gonna, you know, mention something about it.
Here we go.
I didn't want her to
let him go. Go ahead, Eric.
Huh?
You want to talk to her about it?
Well, no, I was going to mention something to her about it, but I didn't want her, like, you know, to cause any problems between us.
Yeah. Well, you know, tell her that you were listening to the show and somebody called in about an odor, and Drew said that the person may have an infection.
And that can, okay. that can
and
be treated
and you were
easily.
Worried about her.
And it can be treated easily.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Eric. All right. Take
I appreciate
care.
It.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Randy?
Hello?
Hey, you're 15. What's up?
Yeah, what happens is I'm like, I guess you could kind of say, like, I'm madly in love with, I'm not really madly, but anyway, I really, really, really like little kids. Like, not like, you know, gross 3-year-olds.
No.
But like 10-year-olds. Like,
yeah, right.
I love everything about them, like their smell, the way they act, how, like, they're pure and innocent.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the way they carry themselves.
What do you want to do with them? What do you mean? What's your plan?
Well, I'm going out with a 10-year-old right now because my brother is 10 years old, and he has a friend that always comes over here.
Wait a minute. So it's not just that you like being around them, you're attracted to them.
Yes.
So that means that something happened to you around that age, 8 to 10.
No.
Oh, listen, Drew. Please, don't jump to conclusions. What grade are you in?
Me? Oh, I'm in
Drew,
ninth grade.
What grade are you in now? 150th?
I'm in ninth grade.
You're in the ninth grade. And what grade is your boyfriend in?
He is in the fifth.
Fifth grade?
Mm-hmm.
10 years old? Fifth grade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Fourth grade. Well, it could have been 11.
Could be fourth grade.
All right. So he's a younger man. Fifth grade, though.
Mm-hmm.
And
she should be in 10th.
Yeah, she. Well, here's the thing: is he could be in the fourth, and she could be in the 10th. But anyway, right. You guys, do you kiss?
Well, I gave him a little peck on the cheek, but then I kind of got weirded out, and I just want to explain to him that kissing girls is okay. Because I don't know. I don't want to freak him out, but I guess I kind of want to marry this guy.
Well, you got to understand that first off, he's probably not going to be able to support a family for another 4 or 5 years, okay? I mean, it's going to have to be at least, 14, 15.
Well, you're approaching your age, of course.
Right. Maybe. And, number two, it's hard to kiss these 10-year-olds because of the cootie factor.
He doesn't believe in cooties.
Well, he doesn't believe in cooties anymore.
Mm-mm.
Well, you got one of the liberated ones.
Yeah.
Okay. And now, most 15-year-old girls that we talk to are dating guys in their 30s by now.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yuck. Old people suck.
Yeah.
Oh, no offense to you guys, because you're not that old.
Yeah, we just sound like,
right.
sound like teenagers.
But you really...
No, it's just
now,
like, you guys seem like teenagers.
Yeah.
Your voices are, like, old.
So, would you, if you had the opportunity, have a physical relationship with this lad?
Yes.
What does that mean to you?
You mean what I think it means?
Yeah.
You mean like make out, that kind?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what
yeah.
that means?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And how about your brother? Is he weird about this? Does he think this is strange?
Well, he doesn't really know, but he knows that his friend likes me, and he knows that I like him, but he doesn't know that we're going out.
And how are you in your development? Do you have breasts? Are you a woman?
Yeah.
So you're a woman. I mean, you got pubic hair and all that good stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh. Yeah. This could be trouble.
Man,
and there's nothing...
You're being light on this.
Yeah, well, I just want to get everything straightened away before we start digging in. Where's your dad?
My dad's downstairs.
And you have any... you say you have a younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
You ever do anything to him?
No.
You ever do anything to you?
No.
Any... Ever make any contact with a kid, or did anyone make contact with you when you were a kid?
Never.
No other kids making out with you or anything when you were 10?
No.
Have we talked to you before?
No.
What's that no? Remember that no from a couple nights ago?
Yeah, but that...
Actually, I did hear that person, but that's definitely not me.
You thought it was you saying no, though, and you confused yourself.
No.
No. Okay, sassy pants. And you get along with your peers? Do you have friends your age?
Yeah, I do.
And you have girlfriends?
You mean like sexual?
No.
Oh, yeah. I have friends that are girls.
Yeah. I think she's making this up.
No, this is her. This is the other caller.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
And Drew's got a good ear for that.
Randy?
Yeah.
Come on, come clean on this.
Randy's BSing.
Come clean on this. Now, come on. It's you, isn't it? Well, wait a minute. I want to know if this
Drew's
is...
Got, it is her.
Yeah.
Drew's got a great ear.
Oh, you guys are smart.
Well, we're not smart. It's just you sound like you sounded a week ago.
It was
like,
nuts.
Yeah.
Who, no.
Who put, there,
was that you or is that the recording?
That's a recording.
That's a recording, yeah.
See, here's the deal. We have everyone who's ever called this show banked.
In my head.
We're like the FBI.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And Anderson will just pull it right on up, and then we'll just do a voice analysis, and that's how we catch most of our bunko callers.
Okay, how many times have I called before?
Hey, who put you up to
four
this?
Four times before.
This is really? Your... This, no guy...
I would say twice.
No guy put you up to this?
No. No.
All right there, Randy.
Okay, have a nice day.
You keep calling.
Well, say yes now, too. We haven't heard it yes. We got to get that down.
My yes? Oh. I don't know. I don't know. You guys are so... Yeah!
Hey, Randy.
Yes?
You do have to keep in mind, though, while you're tying up the lines, we have, heroin addicts ODing and stuff like that.
Oh,
right?
They're lying, too.
All right.
No, afraid not. All right. Because we can pick out the ones that are lying.
Keep thinking that.
Right. I don't want you to be faithful to me, and we were kind of like, you know, I've smoked his friend's poles, like, all of them, and...
Is that her?
Was that her? No, that wasn't her, no.
Oh. All right. All right. Oh, I see. Anderson was just giving an example of this vast database.
I see.
Drew, you do have quite an ear for that.
Well, what's interesting is when I know it, I know it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like there was no doubt in my mind that's who that was.
Well, it's an interesting thing. It's... For me, it's like the dent in the car syndrome. When you come walking out and you see that dent in your car, and you go, oh, man, who dented my car? And then you go, oh, Christ, that could have happened a month ago. And then you go, why did I notice it now?
Right.
And then you go, well, I don't know. And then you think, nope, I got to trust whatever that feeling is. There's a reason I just spotted it, and I would have spotted it yesterday had it been there yesterday.
Right.
And Drew, when your spidey sense tingles, then that means something.
Also, she didn't have the right history.
That's right.
Yeah.
She had herself it was an interesting call.
Yep.
I mean, we never talked to any 15-year-old girls that are into 10-year-old boys. And she played it cool. She didn't pile it on too thick.
Right.
She kissed him on the cheek. You know what I mean? Most bogus calls would have said she gave him a hand job.
Right.
And, you know, taffy came out of his penis or something. I don't know. What comes out of Ted?
Out of penis.
Mike and Ike's? Yeah, what comes out of
silly
that?
Silly string.
Silly string comes out. But she played it cool with that. She wasn't laying it on too thick. But then we start questioning about her dad's upstairs, never had any contact with anybody and at all.
But then,
sounding way too healthy.
And when
we
started digging, it was that same, no. Yes. No. Oh, God.
Her telltale new. Jenny?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
I was wondering if I have a phobia of relationships, I guess. I have, whenever the newness wears off, I'm done. It's like I like the butterfly feeling, the nervous feeling at first, and then after that's done, I'm ready to move on for another challenge, kind of.
Well, what you're doing, it's not a positive thing you're doing, it's a negative. It's, in other words, it's not that you're into the challenge so much as you can't stand the intimacy and the vulnerability of a real relationship.
She knows that.
Yeah. And then as a substitute for that, you go for arousal as a way to try to gratify yourself. And then that state of always, you know, being in pursuit of someone and longing for someone and getting them, and that's all very highly arousing and gratifying, but it's not real. It's nothing.
Okay. What do I need to do about this? I mean, like, it's like when the guys start, you know, like falling in love or something like that, then I'm out. I don't want anything to do with that.
Are you good looking?
I'm not bad looking, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah. Well, part of what needs to happen to women, and it does, is there's a little humbling process that goes with age, which is, Well, let me
no,
let me
I don't
think about
this. Is that. No,
this isn't only that, but just hear me out. Women get started. I'll do a sports analogy here, Drew.
All right.
They get started, you know, 14, 15, and they're like a rookie just trying to make the pro team.
Right.
They're excited just to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, whenever you hear these stories about these playmates, when they're, you know, you see the prom pictures and stuff and, you know, who they dated in high school, it's always some sappy, goofy dude who just, he just, right time, right place, right time. He just swooped in. He snaked everybody.
Right.
It's the equivalent to
buying some real estate when the market's down.
Yeah, or just finding that Shelby Cobra that had been in the barn for 30 years that some old biddy selling for next to nothing, you know. Okay, so that's like the rookie year. They're just trying to make the team. They're happy to be there. But then, as they get into 18, 19, 20, they've had a couple of years under their belt, and they realize now they're no longer just excited to make the team. They went to the Pro Bowl last year.
Right.
And now they're getting flashy. Mm-hmm. They're getting cocky. You see this with pro athletes right through. And then they have that nice run right in the middle there. 17 to like 27, maybe 26, maybe 28, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're cocky. They're on top of the world. It's all pro and Super Bowl all the way. Then something happens. They lose just a little step. They're not quite as fast, and they're 40.
On the rookies coming in.
And there's a new, that rookie who they weren't worried about, because it was his first year and they were just hazing her and everything. Now, starting to get some playing time in. Starting to impress some coaches. Now she's 19. And the coaches are looking at her. And now this chick's getting close to 30. And it's a young man's sport. And they know it's going to be time to hang it up soon. So all of a sudden, what happens in their later years, if they're still playing, meaning single? They play for half the prize. They play on the punt and punt return team. They're happy just to platoon with another player and get some playing time in. They become humbled.
Mm-hmm.
They're glad just to be on the squad at that point. And what's her name? Jenny at 23 is right in her. She knows she's hot. And she may be doing this, but she knows she can.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean? I mean, you're right. It's a psychological problem. But on the other hand, if she knew the next guy who came around wasn't going to be another guy for another 2 years,
she might hang out.
She'd think about it a little more. Jenny?
Yes.
Is that true?
I don't know if it's that. I like the thrill, the chase, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you an addict, alcoholic?
No.
Is there alcoholism in your family?
I don't do drugs. I drink a few beers every once in a while, but I'm not an alcoholic. I don't drink every night.
Did your dad abandon you?
No.
All right. And, yeah, I mean, you're hot. You know there's a new guy around every corner. And why not if you're enjoying yourself?
Yeah, you don't have to get into a relationship each time that you sort of hook up with someone.
I was just wanting to make sure that most of my friends are starting to settle down.
Yeah.
Starting to have kids.
Well, here are the...
I wondered if I was just, late or what.
Here are the common reasons those things don't happen. One is you're an alcoholic, you don't know it, but you're very highly rewarded by the experience of arousal. And so thrill and pursuits and that kind of things are very, very compelling to you. And so you may, as an addict, begin going from experience to experience. The other is you had some loss or some trauma, and intimacy is a very, very scary place for you. And you head towards it, you want it, but as you get near it, you veer off.
You think that's true?
I don't... I think it's necessarily that.
All right.
Then just enjoy.
She's 23. She's got a tight ass with no cottage cheese on it. And she's... Now, listen, if some celebrity dude slides down, she'll hang on to him.
Mm.
But she knows the local cats. She can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, people, even women... And especially guys.
Guys certainly do this, but some women do this. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But most feel that as sort of unfulfilling and ungratifying.
What she's saying.
Yeah,
though.
And even she's feeling it, wondering, should I be or shouldn't I be? She'll get around to it.
All right. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to John, who's 22. Wants his friend not to marry a stripper. We'll see if we can talk him out of it after this.
Love Line.
1-800-LOVE-191. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. So, anyway, Drew. I was in Vegas this morning. I flew back this evening. So, you know, I could be here, you know.
You're a committed guy.
For the kids. Yeah. For the kids. Yeah. So I had a sort of ironic thing happen on the way back. Nothing big, but interesting to me. I was driving to the Vegas airport with a guy, Hispanic-type guy, maybe in his mid-50s, early 60s. You know, you can't judge those ethnics. I mean...
Because they look young.
Hey, a Mexican guy could be 35 or he could be 85, and they look about the same age.
Skin looks good.
Yeah, they work. Especially, you know, they look good. They grow that mustache. They get a little salt and pepper in their hair. It works. Right. I mean, this guy was hot.
Hot. So you're going to tell a story about oral sex in a cab or something?
Yeah.
What is happening here?
So he was telling me he used to live in Van Nuys.
Oh, yeah.
And grew up there in the 60s and 70s. I asked him if he went cruising because cruising was big. They'd all go up and down Van Nuys Boulevard in the cars. And he said, yeah.
But, I mean, that's where that stuff was invented, right?
Yep, California, I guess, hot rodding and all that stuff. This guy said, what kind of car did you have? He said he had a Dodge. He had a 1970 Super B Dodge. Those were those big ones that looked like Daytonas, and they had the Roadrunner. It had a 426 Hemi in it.
Wow.
Like the creme de la creme of muscle cars.
Wow.
Like that car's worth $75,000 today.
Wow.
I mean, you don't know what a Hemi is. You never heard of a Hemi?
I heard of a Hemi.
And really?
I've never heard of a Super B. I've heard of a Roadrunner.
You think a Hemi is something that holds the bottom of your pants up?
No, I've heard of Hemis.
Okay. Anyway, this guy, I said, how old were you when you got that car? He said, 17. I said, where did you get it? He said, bought it new from the dealer. I said, you were 17 years old. You're driving around a 1970 lime green Super B.
Or an orange.
Which they came in purple, orange, and green. You know what I mean? Those huge Daytonas with a 426 Hemi. Wow. It had 425 horsepower in it.
Weighed 47,000 pounds. But it's
17 years old. Just bought it. I said, how'd you afford it? It was cheap. It's $3,500.
Whoa.
I was like, oh, my God. Wow. So, anyway, here's the irony. He's telling me he used to go out, and they'd go up and down Van Nuys Boulevard, and they'd go drag racing. And later on, he took the Hemi, and he brought it into this famous engine builder named Keith Black, and they ported it out, and they put a hot cam in it, and they did something with the induction, and they got up to about 650 horsepower.
Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, we're going 19 miles an hour, okay?
What is that?
I don't know what it is. The more we start talking about this guy's hot rod days, the slower we get. And I'm trying to make a flight.
Ugh.
And we're just crawling. And it's one of those Vegas boulevards where there's nothing but straight for as far as the eye can see. And the road's about half a mile wide. Right. And it's about 80 miles. Like, I can see my house from Vegas. It's so goddamn straight. And I can actually see the earth drop off at the end of it and start curving.
Yeah.
And he's going like 24 miles an hour, 22. We're down at 19. Cars are like flying past us. He's looking straight ahead. But the more he talked about that old Dodge, the slower we got. And then it's one of those things, right? Vegas, they have signals where if you don't make the signal, you should just go up to your room.
Yeah,
take a nap and then come back.
Or
because
order a meal.
They have like 8-way signals with 15 arrows, and 3 of them are pointing down. And you don't make that signal, you're camped.
Yeah.
And we're coming up to that big intersection. He's slowing down, and I'm looking at that light, and I'm seeing the don't walk thing flash. I'm this close just to diving over the seat and hitting the pedal with my hand, you know. No, we miss it. But had that 426 Hemi in that
Well, here's one of the ironies is that when he got up to 650, he was still cruising 14 miles an hour.
No, he'd actually slowed down a little bit at that
point. No, but I mean, he would take it out and cruise 14 miles an hour down Van Nuys Boulevard.
Drew, you didn't let gas go there, did you? Oh, my God. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, it's so bad. Drew farted in here, everybody. Wow. Wow. How did you let me continue with that story? My God. No. Oh, man. I'm breathing through a shirt and a sweater, and it's not doing anything.
One of these days, all of that meanness is going to snap back and slap you right in the face.
Oh. Come on, we're all adults here.
Drew,
come
just
on.
Drop,
get with it, Carl.
Drop the daisy cutter. Wow. 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 What was that? What is that? What are you eating? Jesus Christ. You eating like a Metamucil and manure? What could you eat that would possibly do that to you? Shh. I got some matches. Oh! 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 Wow! Jesus. I can't focus. What are we doing?
Come on. You're an adult.
Talk to John for a second. I got to get ready for a second. Wow. Wow. Oh, wow.
John.
Yes.
What's going on?
Dr. Drew.
Hey, what's up?
My best friend has been dating a stripper now for the past 2 years, and recently he told me that they're getting married, and I want advice.
Unacceptable.
I'm not.
Unacceptable.
What's unacceptable?
No, it's just that's Anderson dropping in a recording. But let me understand. They've been dating how long?
They've been dating now for 2 years.
And she's a stripper?
And she's a stripper.
And he wants to get married now.
And he wants to get married to her, and I'm against it. And I'm taking a guess that he's going to ask me to be the best man. And if he does, I'm probably going to say no.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't think that a stripper lifestyle is conducive to a positive marriage.
Well, there are reasons people make choices to engage in activities like that, and sometimes they can get better. I mean, it's not as though every stripper can never have a marriage and can never have a life after their stripping career. It says something about... Hey, listen, I told you there'd be payback for what you put me through, right?
Wow.
Didn't I tell you?
Yeah. What?
I told you there'd be payback
for what you put me through. You've made your point. It's enough now.
All right.
Wow. John?
Yes.
You're calling about Drew's fart?
No, I'm not.
Oh. Okay, then why are we talking?
His friend has been with a stripper for 2 years. They want to get married. He thinks he's going to be asked to be the best man. Uh-huh. He's going to say no.
Yeah. All right. Is she done stripping?
No, she's still stripping.
Right. Topless and bottomless or just topless?
Just topless.
Yeah, that's not so bad. All right, so is she chaotic outside of this occupation?
I'm not sure. I really don't like her a whole lot.
Why? Why don't you like her?
Because, you know, she's a stripper. She has a bad attitude, and I think she probably is a partier.
Well, listen, John, not all strippers are evil. I mean...
But, again, I'm not concerned that you're sitting in judgment of her.
Yeah, that's what he sounds like he's doing. Are you a religious guy?
Yeah, I'm religious.
All right.
No, but I mean, is this from a religious perspective that you judge her, or
I'm just looking out for my best friend. I mean, I want my best friend.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think if you really want to do what's right for your friend, certainly it's reasonable to raise these concerns and to get him to look realistically at his choices. But beyond that, it's up to him. Right. It's his life.
John, you
should be the best man after you raise those issues. If he still wants you to be the best man, I think you should be.
John, why are you so uptight? You sound uptight.
No, I'm not uptight. I mean, I don't think that their marriage would last a long time.
Yeah, but that's up to them, though.
No, none of them do. But what did this specifically, besides stripping, what did this person do to you?
Nothing.
Or do to him?
Nothing. I'm nothing. I'm just looking out for my best friend.
No, we hear that.
I know. You're just... Listen, goofball. You're just looking out on your best friend for your best friend based on nothing?
Based on the fact that she's a stripper.
If that's not enough.
That's not enough? Okay. So if your best friend was marrying a stripper, you'd be all good with that?
Yeah, I wouldn't care.
You wouldn't care?
No, if I thought she was a good person.
But if someone asked you, you might raise some concerns.
Well, listen, it definitely raises an eyebrow, and, you know, it's worse than librarian, but it's not a death sentence. You know what I mean?
It means something. It's not the fact that she's a stripper. It's what it's a symptom of. It's what
yes,
it means.
Yes, it could mean something, and I agree with John and you to say that it probably means there's a little more there, but I would make... an effort to get to know her, and if I thought she was a good person, then I would give it my blessing. I would do it based on what you thought of her as a person. So maybe you should get to know her, John, and then if you still don't like her, then don't be the best man.
Okay, thanks for the advice, guys.
All right, good luck.
Just get to know her.
Be honest with him. Don't just turn down the best man position and not explain to him why.
Well, I don't know why, so who cares? And by the way, so you're the best man. What do you got to do? Marry her?
Well, he doesn't want to endorse it. But I think he should raise his objections strongly. And if the friend still wants him to be the best man.
Yeah, listen, he's right. Most strippers are kooky. If he had said, interestingly enough, if he'd said bottomless, I would have said forget it because that's extra kooky. But she could be a decent person and he should find out. Mike, I don't know if she's going to like him, though. Hold on. I mean, Drew, nothing else came out of you, right? How do you even know anymore? Maybe your ass just opened up and something crawled out.
Could be. Just a spirit entered the room here.
If you were her.
You were the one that crapped yourself the other day, I'll remind you.
Decent point. Yeah. I got that waiting for me, by the way. I didn't tend to that before I left.
Great.
Yeah. Hey, if you were the stripper, would you like Mike, though?
As your best man? How about that? It's her wedding, too.
Would you like to hang with Mike?
No.
No. You wouldn't want to hang with Mike if you were in an iron lung. Okay. Mike? Oh, yeah. Not this Mike, the other Mike. Wasn't Mike the other Mike, Mike?
No. He dropped off the screen.
Hey, you? What's Mike up there, Mike? You're 24.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you? Well, I was better. I've been
fine,
better.
Man. You're fine.
Wow, Drew. Wow, that's all I got to say.
Well, hey, you guys may have talked about this last night. I'm on a day delay.
All right.
But I heard you mention something about John Walker.
Yeah.
And I've been wondering myself on what exactly would drive an American to do something like that. Seems a little unusual.
Yeah, oh yeah, it does.
Well, you know, I think we get caught up a little in the way that these psychological defects, these emotional disorders present themselves.
Right.
You know, people go, what would cause a guy to kill his own mother?
Right.
What would cause a guy to join the Taliban? You know, it's all the same thing. It's just screwed up mentally.
Yeah.
Some guys go into the church and molest preschoolers, and some guys kill their parents. Other guys get into producing. The worst of them come to Hollywood. I think this is just your run-of-the-mill guy with a screwed-up disposition, I mean, with a disorder, and he could have easily just stayed out here and done gay porn or killed his parents or got into the Wiccan religion or showed up at the medieval Renaissance fairs. Or, you know, he could have ended up at any of these places.
Right.
He just took a unique outlet.
I in my experience, there are two sort of common threads in these kinds of situations. One is sort of the Unabomber type syndrome, which is somebody has a thought disorder, they're paranoid, they withdraw from people, and they look for very sort of peculiar ways to express themselves after that. The other is people who are tremendously empty, who have severely...
Drew, you're empty now, aren't you, buddy?
Well, I heard you.
My nose
that
is full.
No, that's good.
You better be empty.
I'll wait till it's empty. And in the emptiness then gets filled by them subjugating any sense of self to a larger whole, a system like a cult.
Yeah.
People that are prime candidates for cult membership are these kinds of people.
So in a kind of layman's terms, nutshell, he's just basically doing it to feel cool and...
He's making,
good,
you know, he good about himself. That's right. It's his way of managing feelings. That's
probably
right.
A combo between emptiness and aggression.
Really, when you get right down to it, basically what all behavior is, I mean, not all behavior, but for the most part, any sort of organized routine lifestyle behaviors are ways to manage feelings.
Okay.
Just ways to feel good about yourself.
I don't know. What should we do with this guy?
John Walker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like, well, maybe we should just shoot him. But on the other hand, you go, oh, well, this guy has a little disorder.
So he ought to be tested to see if he's sick. Maybe the parents ought to be shot.
right. Maybe they have a disorder.
And then I wonder, I mean, here's a guy that fired on American troops.
Did he do that?
Yeah. Apparently, I understand that's being considered as probable what he did. What would have happened to an American serviceman who did that? Think about, I mean, what does that make them feel? If they were to turn their guns on someone, that'd be it. Why should the enemy be treated? You know what I'm saying?
You mean if an American serviceman
turned his guns on his
comrades,
be game over.
Right.
Why is not like that for this guy?
Well,
because he's not a serviceman, or
who the hell knows?
I don't know anything about this. So,
all right, now we'll test the guy, and you know, hopefully he'll step on a landmine or something over there. And hey, listen, did they even shoot at us over there? Those idiots. Were they ever in any kind of realistic range to even do anything?
I don't know.
I've said it once. I'll say it a thousand times. We kill more of our own people than they kill in the last five wars we've been in, and that means we are so badass. It's unbelievable. Think about, just close your eyes. Close your eyes, picture any time and period with any empire, and have me say, you know what, the last handful of conflicts they've been in, let's just say five conflicts they've been in, they have taken more of their own by mistake through their superior weapons than the enemy has taken of them. How badass is that? I mean, that's not even close. We kill 300 of our guys in an average war, and they kill 11. And they don't even kill 11. They kill 3. There's, you know how they kill people? A Huey helicopter sucks a rock into its inlet valve, and the thing goes down. That's how they kill us. They didn't even throw the rock. We have mechanical malfunctions. That's how they pray that spark plugs seize. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, I hear what you're saying. It's very interesting.
All right, but don't worry. Al is stepping in any moment now. Any moment now, he'll take his mighty sword and clean those infidels off your soil. Just getting ready to make his move. Just needs a few more of you guys rounded up, a few more of you whizzing in your pants and getting hypothermia in a cave. Just maybe another handful more. Or maybe Al is waiting for us to kill more of our own.
Ooh,
before we end this war.
That'll teach us.
Yeah, they should string this war out. Because each day that goes by, we kill like a quarter. I think we'll kill like a guy every 4 days. All right, Drew, speaking of killing, no more farting. Please.
If you behave.
Hey, man, this ain't radio talk.
I'm
this
serious,
is man to man.
I'm serious.
All right, look, we'll take a break.
Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. That's my theme song in the background. Yeah. Yeah, making the scene. Velvet rope parting. Security ushering me in.
You,
paparazzi, man. With the snapping the flash bulbs everywhere. Me making my way through the throng. Hot chicks checking me out.
And this is what they see when they do. Oh. Shoot. Yep, there are those hot chicks checking you out.
All righty. Oh, Drew. Yeah. Oh, this is Drew's theme here. Drew, that thing that came out of your ass was acid rock. It was not a symphony, you hear me? Let me tell you about high school ball. You know what they called me? Captain Crunch.
No.
Yeah, I was captain of the defense.
No.
All Central Valley, first team. And you know what?
No.
My parents, they never went to one game. And they didn't go to one game,
dear
Drew.
God,
you
no.
know what? You know what made me feel inside?
How that, Adam?
I'll tell you. When my stepmother made me shower with the hose outside, at a bar of soap,
God, no.
sitting next to a hose bib out there. You know what that does? When you were off in college, when you were rubbing elbows with the elite, I was in North Hollywood cleaning carpets. Riding a motorcycle with a bald tire on it in the driving rain and crying myself to sleep.
You better stop.
I'm futon.
I'm percolating.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
Good. I like that.
All right.
Ooh, come here. Oh, this is good.
Did something come out of you?
No, but just even the suggestion, you're like, behave yourself. This is awesome. No wonder they put you in the garage.
It smells like a rancid onion in here, Drew. You must have eaten some onion tonight. It is so bad.
Are you crying?
Catalin.
Caitlin?
Yeah.
Caitlin?
Uh-huh.
Right.
You guys are so funny. I'm just sitting here laughing my ass off.
Good times,
you guys
man.
Are just, like, way too funny. Yeah. It's been a while since I've listened to you, but I love you, so, you know.
All right. You're 14.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, the other day, my friend was looking, like, really depressed, and she wouldn't talk to me. And finally, I took her aside in the corner, and I asked her what was wrong. She started crying, and she told me that she was bulimic,
yeah.
And that earlier that day, she had, like, puked up blood.
Right.
And she stood up, she, like, half her body was numb, and
right.
she, like, thought she was going to die, and she
well,
was, like,
she could.
Really
she needs to go to the hospital.
Yeah, that was a couple of days ago, though. And she's fine now, but I'm really worried
about
she's
not fine. What happens is when people are bulimic, they force themselves to vomit, obviously, and it can cause tearing in the esophagus. And that bleeding from those tears can be brisk, and you can bleed to death. Mm-hmm. So it is something that needs to be dealt with.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
And obviously her bulimia on other levels is life-threatening and needs to be dealt with.
Yeah,
needs to be treated.
I
know. So how old is she?
She's 14.
Okay.
Could you tell her parents?
Did I?
Could you?
Would I?
Would that be helpful?
I don't know. Her mother knew at the beginning of the year that she was doing it.
Yeah, but does she know that she's barfing up blood now?
Oh, no. Yeah. As far as I know,
all right,
no.
Well, at least tell the parents. Give them a chance to do their work. And
I just found out, though, and what frustrates me is that other people have known since the beginning of the year, and it's like they didn't try to do anything.
There's not a lot you can do with this disease, unfortunately. Someone has to really want help.
And she doesn't know what they've tried exactly either, perhaps. So you're her friend. You know what's going on. Talk to her parents. You'll save her life, and we'll be back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Drew, it smells like somebody put like an M80 in just a big pile of hippo flop.
Nice.
And then put it into a hamper and blew it up.
Mm.
If this smells like the inside of that hamper.
Nice.
Drew farted in here. Had to be a half hour ago. Still bad. I'm not making this up. Drew, am I lying? You noticed something when you walked in. I mean,
yeah, I've met the smell of matches. It smells like a sulfur plant.
Hey, I
got to
survive. I mean, it's all cloth in here. I think it's trapped. It's trapped in the fabric.
I've had some nice experiences with you here.
Hey, man.
I'm flattering you.
Yeah. I know. But we're cool, right?
No. We'll see.
Hey, seriously, buddy. I mean, I know.
Seriously.
I mean, listen, I break your balls, but that's just part of the act. I mean, we're cool, right?
Right now, yeah. But don't F with me, man.
Oh, no, man.
Okay. You cool?
No, man. I mean, you know, you respect my ass. I respect your anus. And, you know, we're cool that way. Right?
Yes, works out right.
Buddy?
Sure.
Erica?
Yes?
You're 28?
Yes.
What's up?
I just had a question. I don't even know where to start. I have this. I don't know if my ex-boyfriend, I guess, but we still sleep together. And it's been going on for like 11 years.
How long has he been your ass? Ex?
Probably for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
We got 2 kids.
Oh, boy. Do you believe that somehow he's going to come back to you just because he's sleeping with you?
I don't know.
Do you want him to come back to you?
I don't know.
Well, why wouldn't you? What's wrong with him?
I don't know what he wants yet.
What's wrong with him?
Why wouldn't you want him back?
Because of all the girls he's been with.
So he can't be in a monogamous relationship, and that is impossible for him.
Well, the thing is that I found a list of all the girls that he's been with,
uh-huh.
And I confronted it to him, and he said that it was in the past, and
right.
He's done playing the field, and he's ready to make a commitment. And
then after you slept with him, what'd he do?
Huh? I didn't sleep with him yet. I'm still mad at him.
Right. How many girls were on the list?
Like 30. Yeah. And I was his first.
Oh, right. He made a list of people he had slept with?
Yeah, she found the list.
The list?
Yeah.
Well, every guy has a list?
Well, a lot of guys do.
List? Not in their head, but they had to write it down?
Well, he knew some of the last names, but some of them, he didn't even know their last name. And I was like, oh my God, I even know some of these people. I mean, they're girls. They're not women. They're
12 and 13-year-olds?
No.
All right. Hey, listen, Mama, you got 2 kids. Stop acting like a high schooler.
I know.
What are you doing? How old are those kids?
6 and 9.
I pray. Are they girls?
Boy and a girl.
Ugh. All right. You sterilize the girl and you keep the boys. You put them in prison now so we don't have to go find him later.
Well, the thing is that he said he wants to get married now.
He does?
Yes.
Why? Because you cut him off sexually?
I don't know. I mean,
did you cut him off?
He said...
did you cut him off?
Like what, sexually?
Yeah.
Well, right now I'm mad at him.
When did you cut him off?
Listen, stop trying to talk.
But Drew, you know what I'm saying? When she cut him off, now he wants to get married.
I know, but listen, I'd have a better time using a fire and an Indian blanket. to talk to Erica. Erica, listen. If you've been carrying on with this guy for 11 years, right?
Yeah.
Don't worry about whatever his past is. Hopefully, it's his past. Okay?
I don't believe this guy.
When is the last time he slept with another woman? Do you know?
He said it hasn't been a...
Do you know?
What?
I'm just confused. I love him to death. He's the only man I ever loved. And...
Yeah, but he's not who the fantasy that you built. He's not that. He's not that person.
Well, he says he wants to get married. Why don't you just get married?
But I'm afraid that of getting hurt. Like he probably cheated on me. And
yeah,
right. So what's not to love about this guy?
All right,
he's an awful guy.
Listen, these kids need a dad. What's this guy do for a living? Drive a forklift?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yes. And he's like.
Wait a minute. Wait, it's just a moment. Just to take a moment. And take a beat here and kiss Adam's ass a little bit. How did you get forklift out of this?
I'll tell you how I got forklift. I thought, what does this guy do for a living? And I immediately went to one of the trades, carpenter, drywaller. And then I thought, no, he drives a truck. And then I thought, no, he doesn't drive a truck. He drives something, and he probably drives something that moves. You know, I had the drywall and the movement.
I see.
And the middle of that was a forklift. Is he working? Wow. What's he do with that forklift?
I don't know.
Oh, here we are. Here we are with this again.
Boxes and stuff.
Those boxes and stuff.
Hold on, let me write that down. Boxes and stuff.
This is what you mentioned last night about women having a clear idea about what their dads and their male partners
boxes
do.
And stuff. Yeah. All right, listen. Here's the deal. You have to establish a steady environment for those kids.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take care of those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if this guy's a troublemaker, then he doesn't belong in their life. But if he wants to make amends and he wants to get married and he wants to, you know, become spiritual or religious and start becoming a good family man, then you can do that.
But if it's just that you've sort of cut him off physically, that he
no,
suddenly...
No, this is like the first time he's ever said that to me.
All right. Yeah. Doesn't he want to be the father of these kids?
Yes, and his daughter's like... she's so into her dad, you know, daddy's girl. And
Does the son belong to him?
Yes.
Right.
Okay, listen, no more kids, though. Do you understand me?
Yes, I know.
Okay.
All
right, no more kids. And look, baby, I know you got a lot of energy, but just let it go. Just let it go. Stop thinking about the list. Start thinking about creating a family for these kids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so just forgive him.
I don't trust him even to follow through on the marriage thing, though.
I don't know. He's not a great guy, but I, you know, half the... This list could have been compiled... Oh,
over 10
knows.
Years. Yeah, I understand. But I just get bad guy from that. Who knows?
Listen, I got forklift from this guy.
Yeah, yeah. So you got a pretty good read on him.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know how that stuff works. How often do I say forklift?
Never.
I say truck.
Yeah.
And I say construction.
How about the working at the batting cage? Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was the best one of all time. And the girl who was...
the girl whose boyfriend did work at the batting cage was not impressed with my guess.
Not impressed, would not stop her monologue. She wouldn't stop her diatribe.
I know. All right.
Lewis?
Yeah?
What's up?
Oh, yeah. I want to know why am I always, like, horny, you know?
Hey, put your goof-off buddies on the phone, would you please?
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Yeah.
Screwball.
I wonder if in the same house as Randy.
Hello?
Is Randy over there with you?
Who?
Lewis, put your buddy on the phone.
Oh, she's gone.
Oh.
Put him on the phone.
No, she's gone. Randy's gone.
No, it's not Randy. Look, I heard you start the recorder. Do you hear me, goofball?
Yeah. All yes. Right.
So please, stop wasting everyone's time.
All right.
You beat off and go to bed. I heard him hit the switch for to record the call.
Yeah.
Jeez, this is my karma. I sit in Vegas all week making prank phone calls,
yeah,
and
it's
now
coming back.
Now this. Wes?
Yeah, what's up, dude? I need to break up with my girlfriend.
All right, you have our blessing.
Okay, see, the thing is, before I met her, I knew all of her exes, except I didn't know that they were her exes.
You're gay.
I'm not gay.
Drew says you're gay.
I don't care.
Well, Drew's right.
I didn't say anything, Wes. Keep going.
Okay. Anyways, so it comes out that she's been around with all my best friends.
All righty.
That's not good.
What do you mean get around with? What happened with them?
Well, let's just say she's been around.
No, let's not. Let's
all right, hold on. Let's just put you on hold for just a few minutes, all right?
Right.
All right. Well, I think what he's saying is she's probably had physical encounter with
them. But I'd be curious what that means and what his level of sort of anxiety and paranoia is about this stuff.
West, has she had sex with these guys or fooled around with them?
Actual sex.
And how did you find out about it?
Well, I went and talked to them. Okay, see, first guy comes up when I'm hanging out with her. He goes, oh, you and Monica are going out. I was like, yeah. So I talked to him later, and he told me all about it, which was sick, because just thought of him naked is, So I go, and I'm talking to my friends. I'm telling them about Monica. All of them have gone out with her, and...
Monica?
Monica's her name.
Are you, That's another...
Don't want to put her last name in there, and the name of the high school you guys are from? Then maybe he's out of it enough that might be real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't care. I just don't want him to, you know, shout out her...
Yeah. Her name.
Her Christian name, for Christ's sake. Okay. So, she's been around with your boys, and you want to break up. Doesn't sound like he's been late, though.
Right. So, this is another situation where if you talk to Monica, she might not say that she has a boyfriend.
Wes?
Yeah?
Have you had sex with her?
Yes, I have.
All right.
Bogus.
This is not the voice. This is the voice of a virgin, Wes.
My ass.
You have never gotten your Pepe wet a day in your life, if not counting the kiddie pool.
My ass.
You are so busted.
Well, I put my pee-pee in, and then she feels like tummy pain.
See, Wes has never been laid. I know
voice. We're never wrong about that one either.
No. So. No. All right. Well.
Wish someone could actually chronicle our data.
Everyone just break up with everyone.
Craig, well, the deal is, if for Wes, is if he is involved, he needs to look realistically. I bet if there was a Monica, if we talked to her, she would say she didn't have a boyfriend.
Ooh, interesting. Greg, you're 24. I'm losing my voice. You at work?
Yes, I am.
You work at a convenience store?
No, I do not.
Gas station?
No, I do not.
Just overnight.
What did I hear in the background?
I don't know.
Huh.
All right, go ahead. What's up?
Wait, where are you working?
I'm up in Bel Air.
What? Where? What? What do you
do? What are you doing?
I shouldn't really say.
Well, what do you do?
Security.
All right. Did I hear like a ding dong? Like somebody came in or passed something?
Yeah. When cars drive by, it ding dongs.
Okay. Just go ahead and announce that when I'm confused.
Okay.
I heard the ding-dong like when someone walks into a 7-Eleven.
Gotcha. I don't even hear it anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What's up there, Greg?
Well, I've been seeing this girl for a couple months now, and she has a lot of guy friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, that she hangs out with, and they do stuff together, and I guess I kind of have a problem with that. I mean, not too much. I just have a problem when she goes out with them, like, alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when she goes out with one guy friend and they go to a movie or something. And I know that the guys like actually like her.
How do you know they like her?
Because she says so.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
How long have you been going out with her?
A couple months.
How much?
2 months.
Two months.
How old is she?
She's 18 and she's in college.
Have you had sex with her?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah. Wait. You're just dating. She's dating lots of people.
Well, no. She says she's completely monogamous with me and she says it's not like that. They're just friends, this, that, and the other thing.
Are these guys she knew from high school?
Some of them. Like, and for instance, like, tomorrow, she's going out with her ex-boyfriend. She's, you know, back at her parents' place for the holidays.
Hey, Greg?
Yeah.
Let me see. Hold on a second. See, Drew, what I got to do now is I got to assess the number here to find out whether
the numbers match? Yeah.
Yeah, now he's working swing shift in a security box. So that's probably bad.
Yeah. She's 18 in college.
And she's in college. She may be Belle the Ball.
That's what I'm saying. She's just dating.
Greg?
Yeah?
Where'd you meet her?
I met her through a friend that goes to college with her.
And does she go to a regular college?
Yes.
Like which one?
A university here in Southern California.
All right. Could be like a UCLA or USC or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
All right. And what about you? You work in security?
Yeah.
You going to college?
I did. I went to Davis for a few years, but it didn't work out.
UC Davis.
Huh?
Yeah, it's a good school.
It is a good school.
And do you have hopes and dreams?
Not at the moment.
Well, what would you like to be doing? Something other than security,
well,
right?
I was working in Silicon Valley for a while on some high-tech stuff, like particle accelerator machines, ion implant machines.
Right.
And it kind of fell through. I was commuting from Sacramento to Silicon Valley every day, and I just couldn't handle it. My grandma got real sick, so I came down here to take care of her, and the only job I could really get is security.
Wow.
And so, but do you drive a decent car? Do you have a little money in the bank?
I drive a fairly decent car, and I have some money. I was out of work for 3 months.
They built linear accelerators.
I know.
Well, you weren't doing security.
I worked on them. I refurbished them on implant machines.
Right. Well, yeah. So, and now you're working.
Now I'm working security. Doesn't it sound pretty bad?
Subterranean parking over some high rise in Wilshire.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure, are you a good looking man?
I'm not horribly looking.
Yeah, but you can't be too hot if you know enough about particle acceleration.
Yeah, I probably fit the stereotype of a normal geek.
Is she good looking?
She's fairly good looking, yeah.
Is, would she be in demand out in the open market?
Yes.
So it might be, see, here's the thing, there will be a swing. Uh-huh. In power, but right now you work in the photomat booth at the front of the parking lot, and her going to frat mixers, it's a bad, bad power mix.
Fast forward 8 years, he owns a chip company,
right?
Yeah,
right, and she's got 3 kids and is missing 4 teeth.
Yeah, I mean it'll probably reverse itself because I know she's in that stage. You know, be young, have fun, let's go to party.
Right. All right. Yeah. Well, Greg, I would trust her for the time being. I would keep your both eyes open, and I would say to her though, if she said she's your girlfriend, hey, it's Friday night. Why aren't we going out?
That and geez, some of this stuff bothers me. There's certain I can tolerate some of it. Some of I can't. As boyfriend girlfriend, we're supposed to protect each other's feelings, but care about how each other feels. It's
Drew, you've,
behavior.
You've been there, and Lord knows I've not only been there, I lived there for many years, which is you feel that you know the answer's going to be no or pack it and move on if you start putting the screws to somebody. You have those relationships. You're not exactly sure where you're at. It's 2 months. Her score is a little higher than yours. She's acting out a little bit. And you know if you put the screws to her and say, hey, baby, what's up? It's my way or the highway. She's just going to go.
It's even worse because I can remember situations where you start getting anxious and putting the screws to her. And they go, they want to argue about it. And then they're going to do it anyway under the radar.
Right.
And it's going to be a little worse.
And
because you've made them feel somehow like they deserve the better.
And it's the kind of thing, at least I've found, which is they're not going to break up with you on the spot.
No.
They'll just nod their head and smile, and then next weekend they'll roll around, and all of a sudden you've called them 8 times. They've not called you back. They just start drifting out.
That's right.
They just sign off on you.
And then you get desperate.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what you are? You're like some foreign exchange student or some roommate, some friend of a friend who's staying in their basement. And you can hang as long as you stay out of the way and do a load of laundry. But the second you start eating their grape nuts and watching too much TV, they'll just give you the boot. So if you want to just stay in the basement and keep a low profile, as long as they don't know you're there, cool. You guys can watch a little TV once in a while. But you come upstairs and demand this and demand that and tell them their car's blocking yours or something and you're gone. That's the way it is.
And then you try to get back into the basement.
Then you get kicked out onto the lawn and you're just now all you can focus on is getting back into the basement. Oh, that dank root cellar. I miss it so. Sierra?
Hello?
You're 14.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My mom lost custody of me because, like, about 6.5 months ago, and now I'm living with my dad. And, it's really hard because, like, my mom, she's an alcoholic, and I used to drink with her, and I used to smoke with her all the time.
Wow.
And I just barely, I don't know, I got tired of it because I came over here to visit my dad, and after a while, I was like, okay, that's not what I want to, like, lead my life up to, you know, just like an alcoholic.
Good.
So, and then what, me and my mom were, like, best friends until, like, when her boyfriend, like, molested me, and then her boyfriend's friend had raped me. And then she started telling me that it was my fault. And then so right now she won't talk to me. And she's, I'm from Texas, and she won't talk to me. And I don't know what to do because I'm, like, hurting really bad because I want to talk to her, but I don't know if I should call her up and tell her, I'm sorry, but I'm, I don't know what to do. I don't know.
Other than that, everything's cool?
Huh?
Other than that, everything's cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
She just doesn't want to talk to me, and I don't know what to do.
All right.
Well, listen. Isn't this amazing what kids will go through on behalf of their parents? And of course, it's always these despicable parents that the kids have the most affection for.
I just had this great fantasy of your mom spelunking through a cave. All of a sudden, there's a rumbling, and she looks up to see a giant stalactite fall. Straight down. As she opens her mouth, it just goes into her mouth, goes right through her gut, and comes out her ass.
And she's
dead before she hits the ground.
And then a round of applause.
And then bats, who are woken from the rumbling, come and devour her body. This is a horrible, horrible... Thank you. Thank you. This is a horrible, horrible woman, Sierra.
All right.
And listen, I know she's your mom,
mm-hmm.
but trust me, you don't have to like your parents. This woman is going to cause you so much.
Has caused so much.
And you know, her boyfriend or her boyfriend's friend. That's all her. All roads lead to her. And I'm sure some
her dad.
I'm ultimately. Sure something horrible happened to her growing up. And I'm sure her father was a real piece of work. And I hope he's dead. Is he dead? Is Grampy dead?
Yeah, he's dead.
Good. Good. Stalactite or.
Huh?
Lightning rod fly off the roof. And,
yeah. What did he do? Dive? His liver exploded on
Heart
his 50th
attack.
Birthday?
Attack,
yeah.
Good. Anyway, I don't know what you know about him, but I'm sure he was a piece of work. So
well,
here's the deal.
You need some treatment. You need treatment. That's what you need. That's why you're confused. That's you're dealing with a tremendous burden. Get treatment. Don't worry about what you do with your mom right now. Get some help, okay? Please.
So don't make a move on your mom right now. Yeah. Just make a move for yourself. Get some help. Get some counseling.
You sound great. You're somebody that could really work with well in the therapeutic setting. Take care of it.
Does your dad know what went on?
Yeah, I told him everything.
All right. Is he a decent guy?
Yeah, he's really decent, yeah.
Then have him get you to some professional intervention, some professional help.
Oh. Hey, we were just talking about this last night, but imagine his dad... little daughter's coming over to let me fill you in on the last few years over at mama's place.
You know mom's boyfriend?
You know, Uncle Stu? Stu. Yeah. Well, he's got a friend, too.
Well, he raped me first.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as a dad, like, what are you doing at that point? You know what I mean? I could see myself like a Schwarzenegger movie where I hit the garage opener and a wall turns around and it's just shotguns and machetes and grenades and grenade launchers. You know how in movies these guys have, not only do they keep weapons, but it's decorated, it's well lit.
It's a piece of art.
Like halogen lighting and it's backlit and stuff. There's a lot of lucite and stuff like that. I love that. Guy hits the button, the thing turns around. There are all the guns. They're all displayed up there and everything. I quickly assess the wall. Let's see. I'll need the grenade launcher, flamethrower, a Bowie knife, and a handful of extra rounds and clips. I see, you know, and then there's that whole thing where I'm packing up. I'm zipping up the Kevlar vest. I'm smearing the cami paint under my eyes and on my face. All the zips and ties of the boots and the straps, and then I just get a charter the nearest jet and fly over there and just kill everybody. Drew, wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
What could you imagine? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd have to run that scene in my head until I could actually do it.
Yeah. These guys never keep their... They never keep their guns in a vault, you know, like a gun safe, and they never keep them in, like, a military duffel bag in the garage. They're always displayed. It seems like a lot of work for just a sort of humble commando. I mean, it seemed like one put that kind of time and money into the displaying of the weapons when no one's supposed to see them. But it's important.
I guess so.
We'll be right back.
We'll be back.
Hello. This is your radio. Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. I was explaining to Drew when we were just talking about gambling. I was explaining to him how it was cursed, and he described his luck as negative luck.
Anti-luck, yeah.
So makes good sense for folks like ourselves that are cursed.
Not to gamble. Not to gamble.
All right. Julie?
Yeah.
You're 19? What's up?
Well, I guess I'll start that about 5 years ago, I was diagnosed as clinically depressed. Mm-hmm. And they put me on all kinds of drugs like Zoloft and other things to help me sleep. And I got married last year, and we have a baby, and my husband's in the Navy, and he was deployed 3 days after she was born, so nice. I've been taking care of her by myself.
Oh, boy.
And she's 4 months old now, and I don't know if it's just my depression coming back or postpartum depression or just, you know, circumstantial. But just this past week or so, I've just been wanting to sleep all the time, and I don't want to get up and take care of the baby.
Well, at this point, it almost doesn't matter what the cause is. The fact is you're severely depressed, and the biological changes of pregnancy absolutely contribute to this. The stress of raising a child, absolutely. The loss of your, not loss, but the departure of your husband. Mm-hmm. The fact that you were depressed previously suggests that you have at least a 50% probability of this coming back. You need to get back on medication at least, if for no other reason than to be able to care for your child. Because a depressed mom is an abandoning mom, and that is damaging to the child. You need to be treated. And it can be dangerous. And we've heard stories in the press in the last year of what women can be brought to by this biology of this disease.
Okay.
When is your husband coming back?
Not until March.
Where is he now?
In the Gulf.
Oh, what's he on?
He's on an LPD. It's a carrier. It does helicopters. They transport Marines.
Good times. Yeah, I like that. Well, just remember, the only chance he has of being killed over there is by one of his own men.
I don't worry about that so much. It's
right.
Him being mentally okay.
And yeah.
Us and the baby. And,
yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a pretty good long time to be put out at sea. When did he leave?
August 12th.
Wow, before September 11th.
Yeah, and he was in Australia when that happened, and he went straight from Australia to there.
So he would have come home earlier.
Yeah, he was supposed to be home in February. He's got an extension until March.
I see. All right. Well, at least you know where he is.
Yeah.
He's just floating out there off the Gulf somewhere. All right, you know, they say those carriers are like a city, a floating city, Drew.
Yeah, there's thousands of people on the ship.
Yep.
Wow.
All right, Julie.
All right,
get it, take care of some help. Please.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have any numbers that I can call?
Well, who treated you before?
Just my doctor, but I mean that's changed. That was a long time ago.
Well, the
military.
The military should be able to help you.
Right. Okay.
And ask to see a psychiatrist. You really want some sophisticated help here, okay?
All right. They're getting more into that these days, right?
What, the military?
Yeah.
Treating wives?
Treating
mental health. Yes.
Yeah, instead of saying, you know, pull yourself up by your boots honey, and get back to work.
That's right. Run a few laps.
Right. Steven?
Yeah?
You're 23?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, first I'm calling to find out, because my wife wants me to get a penis enlargement, but I'm not sure if I should get it or not.
We don't believe this one either.
Another bogus call. Wow.
Wait, no, this is real. I'm serious.
Why, how big's your penis now?
4 inches. What? Isn't that funny?
And what would she like it to be? Just bigger?
Yeah, she wants it to be 14 inches.
There we go.
Wait.
All right.
First, I want to know what...
No. Right. This is like bogus call night. Hey.
Yeah. Listen, as I was explaining, and I've said this many times, but as I was explaining to the guy who wasn't there at the... every time I show up to the Vegas studio where I broadcast it out of last night,
right,
they're never prepared, and I always have to bang on the door.
Right,
it's always a surreal. It's pulling up to a radio station late at night is always surreal because there's no cars there, there's nobody there, but the overnight jock and his. Now you can see him as you go up the stairs and as you walk down the pathway, you can see the overnight jock's back through the window. But it's a isolated studio with double glass.
Yeah.
So you bang on the door and nobody comes to the door.
Right.
Then you bang on the window and you're looking at the guy's back and you're 8 feet away from this guy's back and you're banging on the window and he doesn't hear anything because there's a double window.
That is not unique to the Las Vegas radio station. You know, I do a few of these sites and it is every single one of them. And some of them, which you'll bang in the window and you'll catch some guy crossing through the hall.
Yeah.
And he'll call the police.
Oh, well, at least that's something.
And also, the instructions always is just push the button. They'll get you on the squawk box.
No.
Never.
Never.
Ever.
Works.
Ever.
Well, the point is every time I show up there, the engineer that was supposed to hook us all in is never there. And there happens to be one guy who's coincidentally there working late. It's always the same guy, and he never knows what to do. And he's a nice guy, but he's always panicked, and nobody told him I was showing up. And so as this is leading to the bogus call thing, as he said to me last night in a panic at about 12:04 after you had been on the air with a puddle of mud for 4 or 5 minutes already, and he's frantically pushing buttons in the studio, he turned to me and he said, I am so sorry about this. And I said, hey, I'm on the clock any way you slice it. So if I don't get on for another hour, I still get paid.
Now, what does that have to do with the bogus call? Oh, I see.
Make them all night.
I see.
I don't care if I take 1,000 bogus calls and never take another regular call.
I care.
As long as I get paid for the 2 hours I work, I drive home laughing like a maniac.
I care. Anderson?
All that stuff that was going on last night before you got on air, I could hear all that. And I was very tempted to put you on because you couldn't hear us, but we could hear you.
Did you hear me say it?
Yeah, I heard you say that.
All right. Well, at least you know I'm not making the stories up. That's fine. I didn't say anything bad about you, did I?
No.
For a change?
As usual, no. I mean, you normally do. But I felt bad for that guy. He was panicking.
I know, but I don't understand how that guy, that poor guy always ends up there, and the engineers never around the guy, poor guy, panic. Here's the irony. I'm the one who's supposed to be on the air in 10 seconds, and this guy's wearing gym shorts, and he's in some station in Vegas, and he's going insane. But anyway. I want to thank the, like I said, the kid that made me the puddle of mud, speaking of the band, for coffee that night. Ron?
Yes.
You're 32?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, basically, I have to thank you guys for the hours of information and enjoyment that you've given me. I've learned to respect you guys quite a bit, and I enjoy your show.
Thanks, Ron. Thank you.
What's up there, Ron?
Well, basically, I have a couple questions. I have a girlfriend who's around the same age I am. I've been going out with her for about a year and a half, and she's into a lot of methamphetamine use.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she probably is off methamphetamine probably 3 days out of a month.
Well, she's not off it at all. I mean, most amphetamine users only use it 3 to 5 days a week.
Yeah,
she is heavy, heavy duty into it.
Well, she smokes it where I know a lot of people that snort it and do other things. I haven't done drugs or anything. I don't even drink. I haven't even
The point, Ron, this is profound methamphetamine addiction. Profound.
Well, is there a difference between smoking it and doing it some other way?
Yes, it makes it worse.
It does make it worse.
Yes.
Well, mainlining it?
Now listen, the stimulants are actually delivered more quickly in larger doses to the brain through being inhaled than IV.
So but it doesn't last as long.
It doesn't last as long. But it is in a sense more addictive. It's not quite as much of a total dose.
Hey, Rod, your angle of she only smokes meth is it's a very bad angle.
This is profound.
Well, I mean, understand, I love this girl with all my heart. I would do anything.
All right, well, if that's true, let's test that a little bit, because she's going to die of this disease if you don't step in here. And if she doesn't die first, she's going to start to get terribly paranoid, terribly irritable, begin to think that you're sort of plotting, or people are plotting against her, talking about her.
It's already become an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, you've got
how long have you guys been together?
Oh, for about, I would say, about almost close to 18 months.
And all right, she's been into this the whole time?
No, she used to have a problem with it, from what I've known from her friends and everything, and she wasn't into it, but in the last, I'd say, about 8 months, she's gotten really heavy into it.
Oh, she's been into something the whole time, then when she was.
I don't understand how you could take 3 days of this. I mean, this just sounds like hell for you.
Well, I'm a full-time student. I'm about one more semester for my master's degree in computer information.
Yeah, well, they don't have to deal with it that much.
There's a numbers issue here, I think.
So, I mean, I keep pretty busy, but I take care of her and
all right.
things on the side. And,
okay. Well, look.
Is what I'm wondering is I'm asking you, too, there's other issues involved. Now, both her sisters and her mother have bipolar disorder.
Yeah, well, you can't tell anything when she's strung out on speed. She may be bipolar, she may not be. The speed can actually cause her to be bipolar. It's sort of moot at this point. Ron, you said you're willing to do anything for her. Here's what you have to do. You have to go to Al-Anon. And you have to be willing to leave her if she doesn't give up the drugs. If you love her as you say you do, and if you're concerned about her well-being and her health, that's what you have to do. You have to begin to go to Al-Anon immediately, and you have to go every day, and you have to get a sponsor, and you have to work the steps. And you have to put some limits down on her to cause her, require her to get some treatment, or she's not going to be around very long.
All right. Let's, I know we're running late for break. Let me just get rid of Stephen over here. Stephen?
Yeah.
You're 23?
That's right.
You took objection to me making fun of the guy who was a security guard?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's not a great gig.
Wait, it's good money at least.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Because this job where I'm working at,
yeah,
it's paying $15 an hour.
What? That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Why are they paying so much?
Oh, I don't know, because it's a big company.
All right.
Yeah, I'm working for Washington Mutual.
All right. Well,
yeah,
they're
it's
gonna
an easy job. I just watch TV and watch porno.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a very laid back job. I mean, I know from me dealing with security. The biggest work you have to do as a security guard, at least in my life, is keeping a band member off stage or keeping a celebrity who's going to announce a band off the stage
or out of the building that you're scheduled to go into.
Or keeping you if you're playing a college gig or doing something like that, keeping you off the stage that you're supposed to be on. That's the only time I've seen a security guy actually stop somebody is when an actual person who was supposed to be on stage tried to get up on stage.
Yeah.
But look, it's a great gig. It's usually a gig that guys do for a while and then move on to something else. But if they're going to pay you $15 to whack off the porn, that's fantastic.
Break.
All right, we got to take a break. Let me just say something real quick. I was visiting the bathroom the last break.
Yeah.
What is it that guys don't think they need to flush a urinal? Like that's an option. You know that they're not really into
bad parenting.
I see it at the airport all day. You know, I've been to 100 airports in the last 2 months. The urinal is bright yellow. I go into the bathroom here. The guy just left. It was a clean guy, ironically. But it just smelled like vinegar coming out of like asparagus vinegar. Yeah. And I realized he did not flush the urinal. And I also realized that a lot of guys don't flush the urinal. You see guys just walk right away. And my thing is, the best part of my day is flushing that goddamn urinal. I love that satisfaction. Pow! It's got that handle. It's like a porcelain slot machine, that urinal. Let them ride. I slap that thing down. I like it. I would feel like an idiot whizzing up a toilet and just walking away. Guys do not do that with the commode, but they do it with the urinal, and I worry about that. And I worry about us, and I worry for the kids.
Love Line, back in a minute.
It is Love Line, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew on the home stretch here. We'll see if we can... I won't go off on any jags, Drew. We'll see if we can get these calls knocked off here. Here we go. Bridget, you're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Okay, I have extremely large breasts, and I'm looking to get a breast reduction. I actually have it all set up for next week.
How big are those breasts?
They're big enough.
Come on. You got to tell us, sir.
Okay, the 38 triple D.
Nice rack.
How big's the rest of you?
Not as big.
Like, how big?
What's that?
What size are you?
Normally when a caller gives you an answer like that, pow, they're gone. But because you're following this line of questioning, you have tremendous patience.
I'm all ears.
I'm not going to get my question answered.
How big are you? Hey, you give me your dimensions, and then you can talk to Drew.
I'm a size 16.
16. All right. So you can plus size count.
Yeah, I'm plus size.
All right.
Anyway, I'm looking to go have my surgery done on Wednesday.
But I'm leaving on Friday to go on vacation. I'm flying to L.A., actually. So
I'm wondering that's great. What kind Lose of the boobs, then come into town.
Have they released you for that?
Yes. Well, the surgery works that I could either leave the night of the surgery or the morning after.
The surgeon is going to allow you to do that?
Yeah, I mean, that's typical of the surgery, apparently.
That they let you go about your business?
Right.
All right.
So, but I'm wondering, like, if it's really going to be, you know, I'm looking to go on vacation, you know, to visit some family and stuff, but I'm just trying to figure out if that's the safest thing for me to do, because I'll be flying on a plane.
Well, obviously not, right?
Well, why obviously?
You've got wounds, you can get infected, you can bleed. They say it'd be nice to be around the surgeon.
No, we got plenty of plastic surgeons out here.
Well, that's what I was going to try to do, is get in touch with somebody in my network out there.
All right, well, I can't believe the surgeon just says, yeah, I got a plane in 2 days. It just seems to me
is it the following week or is it that week?
Days later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 days after the surgery. That to me just doesn't fit.
Hey, Bridget?
Yes.
Why this timing?
Or scheduled that way,
you knew what was going on.
It's an elective procedure.
If I don't, because I start work in January, and if I don't do it now, then I have to wait till July. And
yeah, but you can go on a trip in 2 days, but you can't go back to work? Think of that logic.
Right, but I mean, the vacation itself is going to be relaxing, just hanging out with family.
No. Listen, surgeries are very stressful. Uh-huh. You're weak. It'll wipe you out. You don't realize quite what you're getting into here.
Okay.
Right. Well, so, okay, but if you want to do it, you make sure you got a number to call.
Right.
If there's any complications.
Well, you're 35,000 feet, now what?
Oh, please.
Well, she's all right. Me.
I think she's fine. Now, what about losing some weight and getting rid of the boobs that way?
I've tried that. I actually have lost some weight, and they haven't gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, good luck to you.
Well, thank you. I just need that second opinion.
All right. You have Drew's sort of semi, not really
not
blessing.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Mark over here. Mark, you're 31?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
All right. I was just calling in about that girl that called in saying that her husband was in the Navy and she's got depression real bad.
Right.
I've been through the depression thing myself, and I was in the Air Force for 8 years. I know that the Air Force has a department. It's called the Family Support Center, and basically what they do is they help military family members get different types of counseling or financial help or things like that that can help them while their husband, wife, whatever, is deployed.
So how would she get in touch with them?
Normally, if she can get a hold of somebody in her husband's unit, I don't know exactly how it works for the Navy, but he's got to have some sort of land-based facility where he comes home to.
Right.
If she can get a hold of his commander there or somebody within that association and get a number for the Family Support Center, then they can guide her to different types of counseling or financial support if that's what she needs. It's basically what they're there for.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's very good of you. And I'm sure she can figure that one out. She must have names and numbers, emergencies, ways to contact her husband.
And by the way, for our naysayer callers who earlier were just subjecting us to ridiculous bogus calls because all of them are bogus, Mark wasn't exactly bogus.
No, right? That's good.
That's the point.
Still get paid the same, though. Scott?
Boring.
35?
Yes, sir.
What's up there, Scott?
Hey, I just wanted to say, first of all, a genius. I've learned so much from girls on trampolines, it's not even funny.
Thank you.
And Dr. Drew, you're just hilarious. I laugh my ass off every time I see you on Mars Venus. And I even fell for the free condom trick on Dr. Drew.
Well, that's good. I'm not sure it was meant to be hilarious, but that's good.
Anyway, your wife was raped the first time she had sex.
My actual question, Adam, is I need to get your cranberry sauce recipe.
Oh, okay. Man. All right.
They won't let me on the phone with that.
I see.
My question's true, but that's not an issue.
I see. Okay, you want the cranberry sauce recipe for the holidays?
Cranberry sauce recipe, bad.
Okay, listen, everybody, here's what I do. I take one sack of whole cranberries. No, how dare you? How dare you taint my recipe with your can opening sound effects? That's right. That's what you have to avoid like the plague. I got to whip up a new batch for the holidays. One sack of cranberries, whole cranberries. You dump them in a saucepan, just a pot you'd make a macaroni in. And then you put a cup of water in there. And it says a cup of sugar, but I like mine a little tartar.
Oh, really? I thought
that's
you put that sugar.
A little too much. Put 3/4 of a cup of sugar in there. And then I like to take some zest of lemon. You know, take a little lemon, chop it up, throw it in there.
Zest.
That's solid. And I make 2 sacks. I'm a double bagger. Put the 2 sacks in there, 2 cups of water, about 1.5 cups of sugar and a little lemon peel. Put the lid on it, bring it to a boil, turn the flame off, leave the lid on. 4 minutes, you're done. As fast as you can make top ramen. Done and delightful.
Done and done.
Done and done and delightful.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready.
Well, there we go.
All right. Well, fantastic. Another fabulous week of Loveline safely in the ground. I want to thank Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for doing a great job on the phones all week. Can I have a job, Damien, for doing a great job on the phones all week as well?
Is that kind of, when are you hiring me?
I want to thank Lauren for doing a great job. And I'm still unclear what she does, but I know she does a wonderful, wonderful job at it. Or at least I'm not mad about it. No complaints is what I'm saying. Producer Ann for, I don't know what she was doing, tanning herself this week? Vacation, but we still appreciate her. And, of course, the one with the magic fingers, the one who makes it all possible, Engineer Anderson.
He's the one who sucks.
For doing a great job. And no fanfare for Anderson, except for when he pushes the fanfare button for himself. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, Drew, you got to smack the mic down.
Got to do it. No, that was
two and a half seconds for the finger goes. Really? Yeah, I guess you have to audibly hear the clank. Interesting. All right. You okay there, Drew?
I just banged the mic again.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla. What clip? What are we playing? So I don't know. Are we playing a thing?
A quick clip on the way out.
All right, we're going out with a perverted favorite of the Loveline crew. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Came after her in the shower with a knife.
Uh-huh.
The use of her hand.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.